You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent. I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it. All right,
guys. Okay, folks, it's that time again. It's time for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman tagway along for the ride, Zoom and Pod, and we are driven today by the good folks at FanDuel, the official partner of the CLNS Media Network. Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. Guys, we can't wait for the NBA season to start. We all know that. We're looking for things to talk about. And one of the things I think that when you take a peek at the league this year, what I find very interesting is the coaching situation. I mean, a lot of movement. Two sons of previous coaches, have head coaching jobs, J.B. Bickerstaff and Wes Unseld Jr. And a lot of young kids, too. I mean, the Celtics aren't the only one with a youngster on the team like Joe Mazzulla. So I'll shut up and let's start with that. Your thoughts on the second year for Joe Mazzulla, Bob, heading in?
Think that it should be better, and the reason is that he inherited an incredibly difficult circumstance. I mean, a short notice, no one saw it coming. No one. He wasn't thinking about this when he got the job. He's a guy. His only previous head coaching experience was at Fairmont State 2 years ago. 3 years ago. And it was a tough situation. He's expected to steer this ship of this team that was a contender, he's establishing relationships that it's I like the first thing I liked was the very first person that endorsed him publicly after the announcement was Tatum. So here's his best player coming right up saying, "Oh, I love this. This is going to be great." That's important, and I think that's still going to be the case, and that's fine. But you know, we there was questions about the whole timeout thing, which was almost got to be a joke. You know, it's a running joke about him refusing to call times out in a conventional manner that we've all come to see with coaching at every level. And he kind of came around and cooked up with the norm late in the year. I just think my final take, and I'll turn it over to Jeff, is that I'm a believer because I trust Brad Stevens. I think he's a smart guy. Brad Stevens believed in this guy. And I'm gonna in Brad I trust until further notice, and therefore I extend that courtesy to Joe Mazzulla. Oh,
Jeff, have it. We can't hear you, bud. A little technical difficulty. Check the mic. Okay.
Better. Hello.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're rolling. Go ahead.
I would say this: Joe Mazzulla personally probably has more in the line than any other coach this year. Because if you think about it, if Joe Mazzulla, if they don't win and they're 500 at the All-Star break or before, that's probably it for Joe Mazzulla. Probably it, right? He probably doesn't get another chance. And if he somehow gets him to the NBA Finals or wins an NBA title, Joe Mazzulla is good forever. Like he's good, maybe not forever, but he's good in Boston for a while. You know, they'll talk about him, forever here if he brings Banner 18 to Boston, and he'll be set for the rest of his life. Like the first part of this season for Joe Mazzulla, the first 40 games or so are going to be very telling. And they don't matter that much to the Celtics overall, I don't think, but they matter to Joe Mazzulla. And then obviously what he does in the playoffs matters even more.
Oh, interesting. And of course, technically speaking, you know, I'm harping on how he will use Porzingis. And me and my skepticism on the 3-point shot thing, but you know, he was 3-point dependent last year to an extreme. And now he's got a 7'3" guy who has proven, to my great surprise, that he indeed can post up and score points. And I just think that if he doesn't take use of this resource, I will be upset. And I think they will suffer. I think he's got to use Kristaps Porzingis in a right way, which is to get the most out of him in both ways, inside and outside.
Well, to me, the guy that he has to reach is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown needs to elevate. He needs to get to the next level. And somehow, some way, that's, to me, job one. I think Porzingis, with what Bob said, if they execute that, that's X's and O's. That's fine. They'll do that. Tatum is a great player. I mean, he's pretty awesome.
You're saying the buy-in with Jaylen Brown. The buy-in.
Buy-in with Jaylen Brown, but also I think Jaylen's regressed a little bit. I expected more from him.
Well, he was good in the regular season.
What's that? But
the regular season, ultimately, nobody gives a shit in Boston right now.
Right.
In the regular
season. Right, but that's true. But last year, this team underachieved. I mean, can we all agree? They underachieved.
Yeah.
They lost to it. They lost. They should not have. They had more talent than Miami. They shouldn't have lost to them. Miami had more guts. I mean, more courage to me. That's the way I look at it. So, but in order to get to that next level, to me, it's all about Jaylen Brown. And we talk about it all the time, that Tatum and Brown have to play well together. It can't be this swap off, right, Bob? It can't be that, like, you know, Brown gets his 12 and then Tatum disappears. Then Tatum comes out in the third quarter and gets his 15 and Brown disappears. I mean, to me, that is the big assignment. And if Mazzulla can make that happen, I think sky's the limit for this team. I think that is the big question.
They got to figure it out, right, the way that Larry and Kevin did. Because,
right,
you know, for example, I get my great example in the famous Dominique shootout day, you know, and Larry had the great fourth quarter. Kevin had a quiet 34, you know, but so that kind of that, you know, he got it done. They you know, it's Brown. It's one of how he's going to react to the contract thing. You know, the outside world knows that he is not deserving to be the highest paid player in the league. That is totally circumstantial. And timing. His timing is great. Good for you, guy. You cashed in at the right moment, you know, because of the, you know, your age and the contractual status. And, you know, fine, you know, but that's pressure. You know, is he going to be oblivious to it or is he going to react to it? I don't know with him, which way he could go either way, you know. We know he's intelligent. There's not a question there, but you know, he's prideful. You know, how's he view himself with regard to Tatum? How's he view himself with regard to the, is he going to be resentful that people are going to be questioning his right, quote unquote, to be the highest paid player with the high, you know, oh my God. You know, this is subtle, complicated mental gymnastics.
And that's where a coach comes in as a psychiatrist. It's as important as anything, Jeff.
Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Well, you made a good point. You know, I just thought of this, and crazy that I didn't think of it watching the Miami series last year. But you said, you know, like Miami and Jimmy Butler. Like, that's who I want Jaylen Brown to be. Ultimately, isn't that who we all want him to be? Be Jimmy Butler. Be Jimmy Butler. Be that dude who just is a killer and takes pride in their defense, which Jaylen Brown did when he came into the league. Yeah. And that's fine. But Jimmy Butler's not a great shooter. Neither is Jaylen Brown. He's got holes in his offensive game. So does Jaylen Brown. But what Jimmy Butler does every night, you know he's going to try to take your lunch from you. He's going to come out and wear his emotions on his sleeve. That, I think, is what we would all take from Jaylen Brown here.
Can you manufacture that? I wonder. I'm trying to think of
it.
You know,
Joe Mazzulla, that is your job. That's the way
I manufacture that. I mean, right. I mean, because that's an instinct, an internal instinct. Not many guys.
We've seen it, though. Here's the thing. My opinion is, Jeff, I'll start with you on this. I've seen it. We've seen it in the playoffs before. Remember when Tatum was struggling in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden Brown had better playoff numbers than regular season numbers.
Yeah.
So we've seen it. You know, Bob makes that great analogy with, you know, Kevin McHale and Larry Bird. Kevin did not care about Larry. I mean, as a person, as a player, but like McHale he didn't care being compared to Larry. He didn't care. But, you know, they were two different cats. They went their different ways after games. Kevin was not in that business. He was very comfortable with himself. And like Bob says, you know, Jaylen's thinking, I have to be as good as Tatum. I have to have as many endorsements as Tatum. I have to be on Jimmy Kimmel. You know, McHale never worried about that stuff. So that's where Mazzulla comes in. That's what I think.
Yeah, very, very, very good point. And I don't know whether in that case, you know, even in his GM capacity, if Brad has any role in terms of, you know, helping Mazzulla get through. I mean, I think we're on the same page. It's definitely, he's the key.
Because I think he can do it, though. That's the thing. Is like, look, you are who you are. I don't know if he's going to be like Jimmy Butler, but I hear what you're saying, Jeff. But I think he can be the guy we want him to be. He has the ability.
He buys into it. Yes.
If Bingo. He
into that instead of saying, now again, well, his numbers got him his contract, right? His numbers, his offensive numbers got him that. It was like Andrew Wiggins. When Andrew Wiggins put up all those offensive numbers in Minnesota, and then Minnesota gave him all that money when he didn't guard anybody, right? He didn't guard anybody. They gave him the big contract. Andrew Wiggins was like, well, why the hell am I going to guard now? Right? Like, Brown, you're going to try to reach him now and say, no, we need you to guard again? He's going to look at him and be like, dude, I'm the highest paid player in the game right now.
I know. Why
would anything different what I've done? Because I was just rewarded at the highest level. Here's what I'll say. One thing about the Mazzulla Jaylen Brown partnership now. Does that dynamic change a little bit with Marcus Smart gone? We knew Marcus Smart was the most vocal, pro Ime and anti Mazzulla. And I don't mean anti Mazzulla like killing Joe.
No, he was pro Ime. He was pro Ime. Yeah, I agree.
Listen, he called him out basically publicly when Mazzulla, you know, made some kind of ill-advised coaching decisions. I think it was in the playoffs even. And it was shocking for me to see that. So I wonder if that dynamic changes a little bit because, you know, Jaylen had a running mate in terms of being a guy that maybe wasn't pro Joe Mazzulla. Now, maybe Porzingis comes in with a clean slate. Derek White's like the easiest dude ever to deal with. Horford's easy. We know Tatum likes Mazzulla. It's a changed locker room from that standpoint.
You know what all this discussion illustrates? And it illustrates that, as I've long believed, and you know, fortunately watching this league get closely for over 50 years, talent is just the start. Talent is, you got to have talent to a certain degree, but the most talented team doesn't always win. And there's reasons that, we're kicking around why? And the game, it says so much about the game. Nobody's bigger than the game. the game is you have to adhere to the principles of the game to get the job done. And then and the game is simply, as Pete Carril would have pointed out to us, five guys, one ball. And then, of course, there's another end of the floor as well. It's a lot more complex than just raw talent. And we've seen very raw talented teams, you know, go only so far and then collapse and go down in flames. I go as far back as the 76ers, who lost to the lesser talented Portland Trailblazers in 1977 with their star powered team. Anyway, this is what, yeah, we got, and I said this, guy, will you agree with this? Go back to the loss to the Warriors 2 years ago. It wasn't about talent. They didn't need a talent infusion. They had enough talent. But the other team knew, the other team had the other aspects of this mastered to a degree that we're still hoping this team can someday find.
All right. Let's take a look at some other coaches. And I wonder about Philadelphia with Nick Nurse. I'm a big Doc Rivers fan. Bob admits he's a friend of Doc. We all like Doc. I'm like, if you can't play for Doc, who can you play for? Jeff, what I wonder here is Nurse just did he benefit from playing with a great player or coaching a great player who won him a title, you know, in Kawhi? And now he's considered a great coach, because I never thought Nurse was a great coach. I just thought that he had, for 1 year, he had the best player in the league.
Yeah, he did. And obviously it ran its course out there in Toronto. But I just feel like, again, you're walking into a situation that really don't have the roster that's built to be able to win an NBA title. Yeah. You know, you just don't. And then you look at it, and again, I love Joel, but you worry every playoffs whether Joel's going to be healthy or not, you know, just because of his track record, you know, earlier on in his career primarily, but he's still been banged up. So I don't – he's probably not the coach I'm looking to really look at the most here. I would say for me, it's a couple other new coaches. I would say, you know, Frank Vogel in Phoenix is the one for me that I'm looking at, because, you know, again, he's got the talent. He's got the overall talent to be able to win this whole thing. And I love Frank Vogel. You know, he's probably the perfect guy for that, right? He's kind of a, you know, just a guy who will get along with everybody, which is half the battle, right? Getting these guys to play hard for you and not, you know, not being an ego guy. You can't be an ego guy in the NBA. It does not work.
No, it does not work.
But you got to defer to the players. And Frank Vogel has learned this better than anybody. So I think that could work in Phoenix with, again, three superstars.
Well, the big thing in Philly for Vogel, for Nick Nurse, is he's got what's going to happen with Harden. And you know, and if he's there, how do you deal with him? And his eccentricity, shall we say, his unique niche in the game, which it is. There's nobody quite like James Harden at this stage of his career, what he presents, what he represents, what he can do, what he can't do, what he wants to do, what he doesn't want to do, you know, where he wants to be, or where he doesn't want to be. I mean, all this nonsense, you know, about James Harden, it's in his lap now until further notice. Now, we don't know if he's going to be there, but if he is there, you know, but you're right. They don't have enough. Okay. Embiid is the MVP. Congratulations. I endorsed it. I would have voted for him myself. And I'm a charter member of the Tyrese Maxey fan club going back to Kentucky. I am. I think this kid's wonderful. And Tobias Harris is a nice player. And then what? Right. What do we got then? And not enough.
No. I mean, that again, Phoenix and Milwaukee.
I was going to bring up Milwaukee now. Adrian Griffin, former Celtic, Seton Hall, Griffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. No, he was faded. He was on that coaching track when he was on the team, you know, really, you know, in those days. So you could tell that was so he's we'll see what he can do. But I'm looking forward to seeing how that works out for him, because he's paid his proper dues. And he was, you know, this is what he was put on this earth to do, I think, possibly. And we'll find out. Yeah. Milwaukee has to be, once again, you know, a health for everybody. We always start with that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always health. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they've got a marvelous generational, you know, all time talent on their team in this prime of his career. And let's see how far that Giannis can take them. There's a guy in that team that fascinates me. And by the way, I'm going to step out here and say, don't laugh when I say this. I want him on our Olympic team. I want Brook Lopez at 30, whatever the hell he is. Oh, yeah. I want him as our big guy that they can rely on.
I'm not laughing, Bob. Jeff is, but I'm not laughing.
I want him. And you tell me whatever American, if they don't get Embiid, who has a choice, he could play for France too. If they qualified, I guess they have. I lost track of that. But what other native-born American center? Tell me who you want.
I don't know. He's going to be 36 by the Olympics.
I don't care. He's not playing a full schedule. He's playing an Olympic schedule.
All right.
He can shoot.
What we need.
Let's see who he gets through this season first.
All right, fine. But I'm saying right now, I know no one. I'm out there. I know I'm out there on this. But I'm telling you, you look at the roster of what our available American-born centers are compared to what the rest of the world's got. And the fact is that I just as soon have Brook Lopez, who can shoot the ball now, who can defend, who's intelligent, who'll get it, and who I would like to think would be thrilled of the possibility of getting a gold
medal. I can't believe the guy's still in the league. I mean, which is a tribute to him.
Yeah, yeah, no, and the greatest reinvention of our time is Brook Lopez. Go back, anybody listening, or you can do it. Go Google, go find out what his three-point viewpoint was in the beginning of his career and what it has become. And the only way it's become what it's become is sheer hard work that he has put in.
Which just goes shows you can work on it. Yeah, I did. Did he take any career when he was with the Nets? Did he take a three?
How? And it speaks to the times, and it speaks to his ability to get with the times, and I just think he's commendable for it. So I'm all on his side.
Bob, do you have a coach as somebody that you're looking at or wondering about? Or is it Griffin?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Griffin's interesting. I didn't have anybody off the top of my head. I have a team that I'm curious about that I think are they going to, because we've seen all sports, teams that tease you, that look like they're going to be the team, and then for some reason, and that's Sacramento. I'm curious of what kind of year they're going to have. I'm going to keep my eye on them as easily as you can from 3,000 miles away. It's not that easy, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, but Bob, you've adopted them.
Yeah, well, I am. I like the young roster. I like I would like that city, to have a second shot. That door was open in the early part of the 20th century. They may have been the victims of one of the worst miscarriages of officiating justice in the history of the league against the Lakers that day. And I'd like to see them have a second shot at it.
Jeff, as we wrap up the coaching thing, what about like the kids that don't even shave yet, like Mark Dagno of Oklahoma City, Will Hardy of the Jazz? Hardy was a Celtic kid, right?
Yeah, Hardy was
a Celtic. I mean, but they're babies now. It reminds me of, it reminds me of the Theo Epstein whole thing with baseball, and what we're seeing it in football. I mean, the coach in Miami, I mean, that kid just got his license, for God's sakes, and he's schooling everybody. Are we seeing the same thing in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Dagnall was Sam Presti's handpicked guy. He actually came up. He was like, when I first met him, he was like Billy Donovan's special assistant to the head coach.
Right.
He coached at Holy Cross, was an assistant. Obviously Will Hardy was Danny Ainge's pick there in Utah.
Right.
His time in Boston and prior. I think a lot of these guys, you're going for the next young guy. And part of it is, again, your guy that as a GM that you're going to be able to work with. Like, as much as anything, that's kind of what we're seeing here is, right, as a GM, you need somebody that's aligned with you. Because so many times right now, they butt heads because as a GM, a lot of times, you want those young players to play. You just drafted them. You want to pl- you know, Doc was always like this, right, with Danny. That was, they were aligned until it came to the veterans and the young players. And Doc, right, play the young guys, wouldn't do it, didn't want to, wanted to win right away. So he would play the veterans. Danny would want him to play those young guys to see what he had. And that's, you know, again, that's kind of the same everywhere. By the way, can I give you one more name, Bob, instead of Brooke Lopez? Give me Anthony Davis at the five. Give me Anthony Davis.
Okay, I don't. Yeah, if you want to look him as a five, I want him on the team. Clearly, so I think to me, he's a generic big. You know, a 4-5. He's a modern generic big. Okay, fine. If he's all we had, I'll live with it. But I want a pure center. I want Brooke Lopez.
All right, guys. So as we wrap up the coaching aspect of things, let's move on to the flopping. Okay. Bob, the flopping. Now you could get a technical. And, you know, there's a lot of players out there who are going to have targets on their back with this.
Well, I love the idea that when I saw the story that was explaining it, they cited an example featuring Marcus Smart and with James Harden. And so there you go. There now, there's a, what a, it is the perfect example, right? Harden with his tricky, as Johnny Most would say, with his tricky dribbling and his great savvy and on how to draw fouls and blah, 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 you know. And Marcus Smart, the consummate combination of tough guy and thespian, you know.
Yes.
Inheriting the role of the great Jerry Sloan, who was the greatest combination of being willing to take a charge from a Mack truck and then being willing to flop against a 10-year-old, you know. And this guy is the modern that version of that. So they talked about a play when Harden did the boom, 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 and Harden and flop almost fell backwards 20 feet, you know, and got the call, you know, kind of thing. And they want to eliminate that. And someone else they talked about, I forget who, that they had a little bit of a bump and propelled themselves backwards over the scoring table, you know, so those kind of theatrics they want to eliminate. Doesn't, you know what? It's not a thing, a big concern of mine. It's not a big, I'm not put off by the whole thing. I you know, I think the referee just has an obligation to be intelligent about it. That's all. I think the referees, if they're good enough, they should know. They know who the people are. They know the propensity of the people. They should know. And they should guess right more often than not about whether that was a legitimate offensive foul or a flop. So I think this is personally unnecessary, but obviously I'm in the minority. Or am I? Tell me, what do you think, Jeff?
I think, you know, what was the previous deal was more, it was the penalty was a fine, was fines. And now you got technicals. I think they just understand fines, they don't matter to these players right now. So what can you do to change this, to curb it? They're trying something different, which I give them credit for, you know, realizing that the old system, and it wasn't that long, didn't work. Let's try to figure something out here. I'm all for that. I'm all for whatever.
You care? I mean, do you care? Does it bother you? Is this act of flopping bother you?
Yeah, I don't love
it. I don't love it. No. I don't love it, but here's the thing. I think it's one of those rules that they're going to call in the beginning, and then it'll kind of fade away. The one thing I will say about it, as I'm talking to you now, it's going to force a guy to play better defense. You know, that's the one thing. It's like, get in your damn stance. Get in there, play better defense, and don't look to take the easy way out. It didn't really bother me, Bob. Like, I wasn't there like, oh, my God, you need to make a change. You know, I was like you. I used to laugh at it. I found it amusing. But it may say, look, if you want to stop the guy, get your ass over and play defense. Because if you try to take the easy way out, you're going to get called.
I can't participate in any discussion of this nature without reminding people, but without bringing up the whole Dave Cowens saga and the whole Dave Cowens hating flopping to he thought it was an unethical. He thought it was a shortcut, a cheap way of playing the game that he thought was outrageous. And of course, his famous incident with Mike Newland, which will stand forever as the epitome of outrage in the NBA for flopping. You know, so he would tell you, he would argue forcefully that it should be eliminated because it's unethical in the game.
Right.
Okay, fine. That's there. But in terms of, you know, I don't know. I don't put.
Yeah, I mean, I never really thought about it. But the only thing I could think, is maybe
What bothers me though is the execution. You know, to me, just having your hand out is automatically signed. Yeah, I think I want more protection for the offensive player, but I want to be trained. I want the referees to be good enough to understand the difference. That's all. If the referees are better at knowing what they're doing, we wouldn't even be having this discussion because the referees would have taken care of this.
That'll send us down the Tangway road. If there are too many referees, and there should only be two anyways, they don't need three. And then third person always feels left out.
Well, two good ones are better than three horseshit ones. No question.
I hate three refs. It's stupid.
Bring back Richie Powers and Mendy Rudolph. Yeah, you know, but we're not going to have that anymore.
What's up, Jeff? What?
Mate, with how much more athletic these guys are now than they were 20, 30 years ago. Well, maybe more than that even. But overall, the game is much more athletic now.
Yeah, but nobody's dying.
You know, it's funny.
It's not like football. I mean, if somebody gets whacked, nobody's getting hurt.
Oh, I'm saying to get it right. And these refs are, again, they're dealing with like different rule changes all the time. I find it difficult when people are criticizing the refs on these calls because, man, that game is so fast. It's just really hard. I watch it in the college game and it's different. In the college game, the refs are being yelled at nonstop by the coaches. In the pro game, being yelled at nonstop by the players.
Right.
And it's like, these guys do their job. Let them do their job. Shut up and let them do their job. And they're probably going to get it at a better rate. Now, again, the players don't yell at them throughout the game action nearly as much as in college, where the coaches will not shut the hell up during the action. And I'm like, tee them up. Like, tee up these coaches right away in the beginning of the year, in the beginning of the game. And then, you know what? Throw them out a bunch of times and then it'll change. Just like kind of the flopping, right? Like, make the calls consistently early. The players will adjust, hopefully, and the play will change.
Are either of you guys aware of the famous Sports Illustrated story in the mid-60s when it was an illustration featuring Frank Ramsey, among other things, demonstrating the art of drawing a foul?
No.
It was a little bit of a furor at the time, you know, because – basically, we're talking about him showing people all around the world how to fly.
Right.
And I mean, so this discussion goes back 60 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's fun. But imagine that. You imagine that today. It just couldn't happen, but it did happen. And it was hilarious. So anyway, but what can I say? I still say, I'm sorry. I'm resting my case on do your job better. Refereeing, we know it's difficult. We know it's very difficult, but it is not impossible. Especially if a referee answers the question of my quiz that they should answer every game at every level from bitty basketball. That still exists. 8-foot basketball. They still do that up to the NBA finals. Why am I here? The referee should know why am I here? And that is to adjudicate the smooth flow of the game and exercise common sense when necessary. And if they did, and if they could do that, and they knew what they were doing, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. I rest my case.
Gary, we need to get Bob to officiate a bitty basketball game.
Oh, my God.
By the way, guys, when I was in college, and you know, not knowing what my, you know, job situation was ever going to be, not knowing, in fact, I refereed extensively intramurals, including one year I refereed the championship game of both the day league and the night league. And I did not know what I was going to wind up doing necessarily. And that I thought the refereeing could possibly be in my future at that time.
They yell at you that you suck during the game?
No. There was no crowd. You know, there was a crowd for those games. Yeah, but there was a little bit of a crowd for the championship games, not the
routine. Right. All I know is I would love to see Bob Ryan go to the monitor now in an NBA game as an official and explain the call. Gentlemen, great show as always.
All right.
All right, guys. Brought to you by FanDuel, the official partner of the CLNS Media Network. FanDuel, also official partner of the NFL. Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Next week, guys, take care. New FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed.
Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube at YouTube TV.
Three,